Once upon a time, in the beginning, this was and this was not. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the stories we tell shape our lives, our communities, and our world. Let's weave them together for strength, for hope, and for love. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in this community and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and starting in just a couple of weeks, Sunday school during worship. But today, this is an intergenerational worship service, so we expect lots of joyful noise. Woo! This is also a communion worship service, so particularly those at home, we invite you to get a little bit of food and drink to join with us. Sarah Lynn is going to come forward and share some important announcements about our faith formation program, which is starting a new year.
Okay, can I have the next slide, please? So this fall, we are in the fall, everyone. we are starting our program year, and the faith formation team is looking for some new people to join us. We've had some people need to step down and step back. And so we are looking for more nursery volunteers. We are looking for, next slide, we are looking for new people in godly play and connect. So that's for the kids who are in elementary school and middle school. And there will be a training for those people who are interested in godly play this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So if you think that you're feeling a call to this, that you would like to work with the children who are in godly play, you can come to the training. That will be a beginning. And of course, there's, you know, I'm willing to work with anybody who wants to get in there and do it. Our godly play program has been a phenomenal thing, and it's a great curriculum, but it's also just a really good way to connect with the new generation. So I invite you to join us if you have questions or would like to learn more. There will be an information session that's more about just kind of telling you about godly play after church in a couple of weeks. So if you just kind of want to do that first, you could do that as well. Today, oh, okay. Well, no, I don't think I have a thing for the what I'm going to say next. Today, parents of children who are in godly play and connect and the nursery, we'd love to talk to you. We have an information gathering session planned for during coffee hour, and we're going to ask that those parents and families come and join us in the chat room where you can share with us some of the things that you're thinking about, and we can share some things that we're thinking about and try to work together to plan this new year. So I'm especially talking to the people over here in our playground area. And then next week. So next Sunday is Rally Day.
Woo!
Woo! And we have been doing a barbecue for a while, so I'm calling an audible today. We are not going to do a barbecue next Sunday. But we are going to do an ice cream social. So there will still be a gathering after church. We're going to start with dessert, and then you can go home and have your lunch. But there will be some more information about that coming out this week. We're always on our toes here at FCC Natick and changing our plans as needed. I think that was it.
I would much rather have ice cream. Thank you, Sarah Lynn. Huge thanks to Sarah Lynn for getting our program year Faith Formation off to a great start. Open Door is also beginning its new year. This is the community meal that is every Monday in Natick. Our next date for serving dinner is Monday, September 15th. You can participate by cooking, shopping, and or serving. You can see info in the link, or Kirsten. I think I saw, is Kirsten here? I feel like that beautiful woman is in front of me. Kirsten, wave your hand so you can also see Kirsten for more information. Today we have coffee and conversation for those who are on site after worship. Thank you to Sarah and Doug for hosting. We will also have some extra sweet treats today provided by SOAR Natick. This is the support group for parents with children who are suffering from opioid addiction. We gave them playground space yesterday for a table during Natick Days, and they gave us donuts. We are grateful for everything they do. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Hear the story of God's love." Come on in, gather round. Hear the story of God's love. Find yourself a place at the table.
Hear the story of God's love.
Lean in close and breathe in deep.
Hear the story of God's love.
Amen. Our opening hymn is number 316, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." Please rise in body or spirit. Please be seated. Our centering prayer begins with a bit of quiet. We need a break from the endless flow of words to see what new story might arise. Try to make your mind a blank page and breathe. Let us pray. Creative God, write a new story for us. Write a new story in us. Write a new story with us, that this precious and fragile world might finally become the kingdom of justice and peace you envisioned in the beginning. Amen. It takes 1/10 of a second to judge each other. That's what research finds. We react to facial appearance and body language and decide we know all we need to know about someone in a glance 1/10 of a second long. That doesn't seem to be working so well for the world. So as we share God's peace this morning, let us try to look at each other for at least a full second and see the light of God shining through. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. Folks at home, we see the light of God in you as well. God's peace be with you. Also with you.
Thank you.
This fall, our worship services will focus on the story of the biggest hero in the Hebrew Bible, Moses. So we will start at the beginning of Moses' story. And Moses' story starts where all of our stories start. Where do all of our stories start? And when's our beginning?
Birth,
when we be born. Karen and I will tell you all about when Moses be born.
Hear the story of the birth of Moses from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. A man from the Levi tribe married a woman from the same tribe.
A romance story. Neighborhood kids growing up and getting married.
And she later had a baby boy.
Aww.
He was a beautiful child, and she kept him inside for 3 months.
Lots of parents kind of hunker down in those early days. Weird they haven't mentioned the baby's name yet, though.
But when she could no longer keep him hidden, she made a basket out of reeds and covered it with tar. She put him in the basket and placed it in the tall grass along the edge of the Nile River.
Wait a minute, that is not normal new mother behavior. You know, I thought we could start Moses' story at his birth, but maybe we need to go back a little further. Sometimes stories don't begin when we think they do. And for us, sometimes our story starts even before we were born. In the first chapter of Exodus, we learn the tension is growing between the Hebrew people and the Egyptians. Once, they got along very well because they worked together in Egypt to survive a famine. But those in power in Egypt after the famine ended began to worry that the Hebrew people were becoming too numerous and would take over the country. So they turned them into servants and dealt with them very harshly. But even that wasn't enough. The Hebrew people continued to thrive. Finally, the leader of Egypt, the Pharaoh or king, said that all Hebrew baby boys must be killed. That is terrible. So that's why the baby's mom hid him inside and then put him in a basket on the Nile River. But doesn't that seem like kind of a weird and dangerous thing to do? Are there alligators in the Nile River? I don't really know. Let's hear what happens next.
The baby's older sister stood off at a distance to see what would happen to him. About that time, one of the king's daughters came down to take a bath in the river, while her servant woman walked around the riverbank. She saw the basket in the tall grass and sent one of the servants to pull it out of the water.
Okay, so remember, there's no indoor plumbing, so the king's daughter was regularly coming down to bathe in the river. Do you think the baby's mom knew that? That the king's daughter regularly came down to bathe there? Do you think she did this on purpose, hoping the princess would save her baby? But what if the princess brings the baby to her father instead? This is one of those big moments in a story.
When the king's daughter opened the basket, she saw the baby crying and felt sorry for him. She said, "This must be one of the Hebrew babies."
What is she going to do? This is the moment of truth.
At once, the baby's older sister came up and asked, "Do you want me to get a Hebrew woman to take care of the baby for you?" "Yes," the king's daughter answered.
Phew.
So the girl brought the baby's mother, and the king's daughter told her, "Take care of this child, and I will pay you." The baby's mother carried him home and took care of him.
Okay, so now the baby is safe, and he gets to stay with his mom, and his mom gets paid to take care of him, which she was already happily doing for free. This could be a happy ending if we stop right here.
And when the baby was old enough, his mother took him to the king's daughter who adopted him. She named him Moses because she said, "I pulled him out of the water."
I guess there will be more to the story.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. Now, children of all ages are invited to come forward for a word for all ages. That's right, not just lean in, but come forward, down to the floor right here, and please bring your backpacks. This is your chance, those in person. You're gonna have to come up here, you know that pretty soon, right? Okay, all right, I just wanna make sure that the child of all ages right there, okay, all right, backpacks, everything right on here, bring them, whatever you got. Come on over, children of all ages. Simone, I know you have a backpack with you. Birth, the day and time, who was there, what happened? If you know the story of your birth, just raise your hand. You know the story of your birth, some of you do? Some of us do, some don't. Our stories can be so different. The story of Moses' birth is a reminder that everything isn't always sunshine and roses when a baby is born. He's good as long as he's happy, cat. As long as he's happy, cat, he's good. The story of Moses' birth is a reminder that everything isn't always sunshine and roses when a baby is born. Hard things can be going on in a family or in a country or in a world. Amen? Amen. The story of Moses' birth is also a reminder of what a difference somebody can make even when things are hard. Moses' mother hiding him in a basket. Moses' sister offering to get help for Pharaoh's daughter. Anybody who shows up with a casserole after a baby is born. And the story of Moses' birth is also a reminder that even in the hardest of stories, God is at work. And next week, the story continues. Amen. Come on up here, Sarilyn. Uh-oh. Somebody might have to help Sarilyn get up. So our scripture reading this morning is the perfect passage for Backpack Blessing Sunday. That is not easy to say. Could you help me say Backpack Blessing Sunday? Backpack Blessing Sunday. You are much better than I am at saying that. Today, parents buy their kids backpacks and send them off on the school bus. Did anybody do that in the last couple weeks? Did anybody do that ever? Moses' mom wove him a basket and set him in a Nile River. Okay, so a basket and a backpack aren't exactly the same thing, and it wasn't Moses' first day of school, but I think many parents putting their kids on a bus for the first time feel like they are just about setting their babies adrift on a dangerous river. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I imagine Moses' mom whispering a blessing as she tucked Moses into the basket in the same way we offer a blessing as our kids start a new year of school. I was thinking Moses' mom might have even put a few things into the basket with Moses. Mm. Not school supplies like pens and calculators. They did not have, they had calculators, but I think they were Abacai, right? Okay. But maybe she put in his favorite blankie. Does anybody have a favorite blankie? I just want you to know I have a favorite blankie. Mm. I have a Snoopy. We'll talk about that another day. I will even bring it in to show you sometime. Maybe Moses' mom tucked a teething ring in there for him. Mm. A bit of her love would go with him for comfort and support. Now, Miss Sarilyn, who is not Moses' mother, but is still taking good care of all of us, she made a charm for everyone's backpack, a bit of our love to go with you for comfort and support. Miss Sarilyn, would you tell us a little bit about that charm?
I will. So this is what the charm is going to look like, and you'll see it in a minute up close. It's kind of small, but it's to hang on your backpack or your bag, right? And there should be enough for everybody here today. We chose the Celtic knot as the charm, and it looks like this. So can you imagine, this is one strand, a long, long rope that's woven into a knot. And there's a long tradition of this in Ireland and in Scotland, so it's a Celtic tradition. And so we're talking about weaving our stories this fall. You're going to hear a lot about stories. And I think this is a really good symbol of that. It's also a symbol of connection. Do you see how it feels like it's all connected? I can't pull it apart, right? That's how we are. We are connected together in this community. And so when you put this charm on your bag and you carry it with you, or maybe on your key ring, however you choose to carry it, it will be a reminder to you of our connection to one another and the love that we have for you that goes with you wherever you go, and the love of God that goes with you. And so I want you, when you see that charm, to think of this blessing that we're going to do right now.
So my friends, if in the room, as you are able, would you please rise? And everyone on site and online, I invite you to raise your hands in the ancient posture of blessing. And I invite you to imagine all the love, support, and hope pouring out of you from the tips of your toes to the top of your head and out through your fingertips, pouring out onto our children and all God's children gathered here.
Yeah.
As Miss Sarah Lynn begins the blessing.
Oh, okay. God of fresh starts and new beginnings, we ask you to bless these backpacks and all our baggage. May padded straps feel like a comforting hand on our shoulders, and each pocket hold kindness and patience, especially for ourselves.
Loving God, bless not just our backpacks, but our very beings. May the blank paper in our notebooks show us each day is a new start. May the pink pearl erasers remind us that mistakes are an important part of learning. May our boxes of crayons remind us that you made this world full of beautiful variety.
And may each of us, whether we are starting preschool or barely remember the classroom, be ready to learn and discover and explore as we begin another year together. And the people said,
Amen.
All right.
While Elaine plays us some beautiful music,
Heather,
we'll
help,
give everyone a charm and get ready for communion.
You start here and I'll start down here.
So those who are helping with communion are going to get their charm and go to the back. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting. You maybe want to have the kids sit for a minute because I got to do joys and concerns first. Sorry about that. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Good morning, Art. Art, congratulations. Say Allie. As in Calla Lily. So welcome to the world, Calla the sixth grandchild of Karen and Art, born into a family full of love and hospitality. We celebrate with you. Congratulations. I thought I saw another hand in that same area. Did I? No. Doug. Sarah H. has had one successful cataract surgery. This week she will have a second cataract surgery, and we know this in-between time is a little tricky, so I'm glad Doug is taking good care of you and not letting you walk into walls. Robin. So many joys in Robin's family. Ben turned 15, which feels impossible, and Robin's mom turned 80. What a wonderful time that their birthdays are so close together. That's really wonderful. And Jeff is away, so is that another joy? Yeah, no, just... Other joys, quickly, other joys. Sarah Beth. Miles got a promotion and is in Albuquerque. We're light on details, but heavy on joy. And Mai is back to school, so all joy in your household, Sarah Beth. Thank you. Other joys that I've... Doug, how many do you get in one day? Kim, let's let Kim go first. So Kim is with us for the first time this morning. We are so glad to have Kim with us. And Kim is with us today in part because of Elaine. And today is Elaine's first official day as our permanent music director. So lots of joys there. And we are holding Kim in our prayers as she is making this big transition to Boston, finding new jobs as a music professional. So welcome. Welcome, Kim. Welcome. I know there's somebody over in the prayer. Well, Dave, I see you first, Dave. So I don't really recognize Ned because Ned has a phenomenal big boy haircut going on. So Ned, rocking the haircut. Ned, what do you have to say for yourself this morning? Say it one more time. Ned is going to be making bread with his mom. That is truly a joy. And Ned, maybe you could make some gluten-free bread and we could have it for communion sometime. That would be awesome. Dave is like, great, thanks for that. Is that Declan back there? Yeah? I missed it. Okay, it was clearly awesome. Was this? Okay. Thank you. I will be better. Okay. We celebrate, Declan would like us to celebrate doctors in the world who help people feel better. And we also hold in our prayers people who are having, you know, not feeling well sometimes. Absolutely. Thank you. Lorraine. June, I'm not talking about that part. Are you? Okay, Lorraine is a great grandmother for the 13th time, which is awesome. But she also wants to say that she could be a great great grandmother because she has a 19-year-old. Grander. And I just think she should not rush that. Natasha. What? Thank you. You're just saying that because you had to leave early. No. Natasha is lifting up the joy of Natick Days yesterday. Huge thanks to Gretchen and Rick, but mostly Gretchen, for coordinating that yesterday. All right. What did I miss? Lane. Maya, do you have one? Is there one back there? We're just raising our hands. Okay. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Dee Dee. She has a really long road ahead. This is your niece and kids. Yeah. We're holding in our prayers Dee Dee's niece and kids, who after a long, hard road have finally, and with a long, hard road ahead, have finally left a bad situation. We trust that there will be lots of support for this long road. Thanks, Dee Dee. Sarah Beth. We're holding Sarah Beth's colleague, Gene, in our prayers after the death of his mom. Robin? Was her name Jen? We're holding in our prayers Robin's college friend, Jen, who is living with breast cancer and has had a lot of setbacks. So holding her and her family in our prayers. Thanks, Robin. Lane? Oh, sorry. Amy. Holding Amy's brother, Scott, in our prayers as he's received a difficult medical diagnosis related to his lungs, and he's not someone, this is the one that doesn't like to go to the doctors either, right? So it's just got layers of complexity added to it. Yeah. Heather. Heather is lifting up the volunteers within the National Guard who are away from their jobs and their families who are dealing with strain on multiple levels. Thanks, Heather. Pam? Pam is lifting up what is happening in Gaza, the genocide and the starvation, as well as the settler attacks in the West Bank and the silence around all of that. Thanks, Pam. Paul? There was, everything is fine at UMass Lowell, where our youngest is a student, but there was a scare this past week. Turns out it was an airsoft gun, but it looked like an AK-style weapon, which was a long day for a lot of parents. So gun reform in this country would be awesome. I feel like I missed one. I'm sorry. Lane? Okay. Knowing that prayers do not need to be said aloud for them to be held by this community and by the God of love. And like a family gathered around the table where we bring the most important news of our day, we now bring all of this to this communion table. We are celebrating communion together today, and we are gonna set the table. Will you help me?
Yes.
All right. At home, I need your help too. But first, we need to bring the communion table to the floor. Randy's gonna help me bring it to the floor. Usually our communion table is up here on Sunday mornings, but it needs to be in our midst. as we get ready to celebrate communion, this is where you watch us go very carefully down the stairs. Thank you, Randy. Just a little bit more forward. All right, the communion table is now in our midst because, great job, Randy. Thank you. Applause for Randy. Thank you for helping us, Randy. So the communion table is now in our midst. But, you know, it is a beautiful table, and we love how it looks every week. But when we are having a special meal, like the special meal we're having today, we often, what do we put on a table? We put a tablecloth. Pam, can you help me put the tablecloth on this table? While Pam is helping me to put the tablecloth on the table, I need help getting the candles on the table. Grace, would you be willing to grab one of the candles up there? Sarah, Elaine, would you? Let's leave Sarah there. Pam, is that tablecloth straight? Elaine, would you be willing to grab the other candle? I mean, Pam, I thought you would be the perfect person to make sure the tablecloth is actually straight. We put the candles on the table because the candles, perfect, beautiful, the candles say the Spirit is present. Now, is the Spirit always present? Yes. But sometimes we need a reminder. Thank you, Elaine. That the Spirit, you didn't know this was in the job. No. Sometimes we need a reminder that the Spirit is present. So we light the candles, we put them on the table, and then we are reminded together that the Spirit is here. But you know, we're having communion today, and what do we need for communion? We need at least something to eat. We'd be okay if it wasn't bread, but we need something to eat. And we need something to drink, probably grape juice. Does anybody have something to eat and something to drink in this room?
Yes.
Would you bring it down for me? The bread and the grape juice are journeying through the room, through the sanctuary, coming to the table. But this is not the only journey this bread, I need a high five. This is, sometimes you don't get what you want, but you get what you need. This is not the only journey this bread and cup have taken, amen? Think about the journey from grape to grape juice, the journey from, I was going to say wheat to loaf, but it's probably not wheat because it's gluten-free. So
rice,
from grain of rice to loaf. Think about the trucks that have brought the food here. Think about the laborers in the field who have helped. This is not the only journey this food will take. This is also not the end of the food's journey because we will take this food back out into the world. But this may be one of the most precious parts of this food's journey. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As all the bread and juice are here, you may go back to the playground. You will be receiving some of this in just a minute. Now, you notice that we've brought gluten-free bread down here because we want to make sure that everybody can participate without feeling unwell. And we want everybody to share from the same loaf as a reminder that we're all connected together. And we're having grape juice in the same way because some of us can't have alcohol. So we want to be able to share from the same cup together because this is a reminder that we are all together at this table. Oh, I need those napkins from that pew right there. Would you be willing to bring them to me, Rory? I know. Thank you. Why would we have napkins at the communion table? Because we spill. Because everybody makes mistakes, and mistakes are okay. Mistakes are particularly welcome in this community of faith. We don't have to be perfect here. All right, so the table is set. Isn't it beautiful? Hasn't our community done a good job of setting the table together? All right, when I was young, my mother told me how to set a table and how to deal with a table that I arrived at that was already set. What is the rule about silverware?
Outside in.
Okay, were Sarah Lynn and I the only two who were yelled at about that? The rule for silverware is outside in, but what if there's something up here? You start up here, right? If there's a spoon up there, you start there. But there's no forks and knives at this table. What are we gonna do? Use our hands. When we come to receive communion today, we are gonna take a piece of bread. Show me what you're gonna do. We're gonna take a piece of bread. We are gonna dip it in the cup, and we are gonna eat it. And we are gonna eat it right away because we urgently need God's love. We do not want to wait. Now, sometimes we receive communion in the pews as a reminder that God's love comes to us. There's no place we need to go and nothing we need to do to earn it. But sometimes, like today, we come forward to receive communion as a reminder that this life is a journey and that this is a choice. So today we'll come forward, we'll take it, we'll eat it, and have that reminder together. People at home, you will be participating in communion from home as a reminder that the church is not bound by four walls and the table has no boundaries either. So you participating from home helps this communion meal burst out into the world. All right, the other thing we're going to do today is we usually, when we participate in communion this way, we usually start at the front, not today. Today, we're starting at the back because we want the reminder today that what Jesus said, the last shall be first. And I know y'all like to sit at the back to avoid me, but today you get to start receiving communion first. And we've got helpers back there who will help make that happen when we get there. Okay, just want to make sure I've heard. Oh, also, not everybody can come forward, right? Maybe you can't come forward because you're on wheels, or just it's hard to like maneuver all this. So members of our worship team will make sure they are circulating, that you can be served right where you are, because all are welcome, and we want there to be no obstacles to this table. All right, the table's set, amen? We know what to do, amen? Let's come to this table of nurture and love. One more minute, because we didn't pray yet. I know. When Jesus was a little boy, sitting in the temple with his parents, he learned the story of Moses. He heard how the Egyptians oppressed the Hebrew people, like the Romans were oppressing Jesus and his neighbors. He heard how the powers that be killed children in ancient Egypt, just like they did ancient Palestinians. Jesus felt the connection across time and space as Moses' story was woven together with Jesus' own. Thousands of years later, in 2025, the powers that be still oppress vulnerable people. Children are still sacrificed for political gain. Our stories are still woven together across time and space. Gathered at this table, we refuse to let their stories be silenced. We call them here beside us, and we eat and drink together. We join together in this feast and believe it can change the world. Let us pray. God of sacred memory, be with us in this radical act of feeding each other. No one rules over this table, God. It is yours. No one charges tariffs here, and there are no borders to cross. Thank you for this glimpse of the commonwealth, the way all of creation could be. May we rise from this table, fed in body and spirit, ready to walk side by side with the one who taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God. And then the music began to play. Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. Okay, so I'm calling a couple of audibles, which apparently is what we're doing today, because I was supposed to have this service done in an hour. We're skipping the closing hymn. I know Sarah Lynn wanted the postlude to play on so folks could see the announcements, but we're going to let that go, too. So I'm just letting you know that stuff, Elaine. You're the best. Okay. All right, show of hands. Folks online, this means you, too. When you were growing up, did the adults in your life tell you, money was one of those things it was rude to talk about? Whatever you do, don't discuss religion, sex, politics, money. Raise your hand if that was your household. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty good there. Okay. Or raise your hand, were you encouraged to ask questions and share your thoughts about money? Oh, just no, not very much. Okay, so lots of neutral, but like two of us were allowed to ask. Okay. The way money was handled from our earliest memories helps weave together our money story. The way we think about, react to, and use money throughout our lives. Reflecting on our money stories can help us live healthier financial lives, make us more aware, and even more generous. So this fall, I'm going to share some of the questions that the generosity team has been using to discuss our own money stories. Maybe you will even want to join that team. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, I just invite you to notice how it feels to even be talking and thinking about money at all. God of abundance, bless these gifts and help us use them to create a world of love. Amen. Beloved, the world is telling a story of brokenness, hopelessness, violence, division. We have another story, God's story, a story of hope, justice, joy, love. Let's go together to spread that whole and healing story, and it will change us and the world. Amen.